Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode
11
of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shanklin.
Hi Tom.
Alright mate.
Hi, yeah. Today we're very, very lucky. We are in a corporate box at Sandy Park down at Exeter Chiefs, and we are joined for the pod by Exeter Chiefs and England winger Jack Knoll. Alright Knollsy?
How you doing mate, you alright?
Yeah, very good. Very good. How are you?
I'm alright mate, I'm alright after today. Glad we finally got a win.
Yeah, so those of you that didn't keep up with the Anglo-Welsh Cup this weekend, shame on you. Exeter Chiefs just absolutely battered Cardiff, didn't they, Knollsy?
They did.
But it was like a team of kids, that Cardiff team. Shanks, you're from Cardiff. You commentated on BT Sport. How many of those lads did you know?
First gig. I always joke about pretending I was covering games, but I'm not. I'm just going to watch them, really. I actually was commentating today. Didn't really recognise any of them. There's a couple. Kirby Myhill at hooker. Signed from the Scarlets last year. James Down, second row, and Hreen Williams was.
I didn't want you to list them, mate. I just wanted to know.
They were the only three.
Now, Hreen Williams.
Four,
is a, I reckon. Hreen Williams, a promising young kid, isn't he, from Wales?
Very, very promising, mate. He's played last week, scored a try or two, I can't quite remember, but he's been in with the Welsh team all week, so he's been holding the tackle shield and getting battered, probably, yeah, in defensive draws. But no, they think highly of him, and he looked okay today, but it was men against boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Knollsy, I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I guess when you see me, you always think, you know, pretty well-dressed guy and makes an effort, yeah?
Of course, mate, of course.
I look at Shanks today, having done his first... He had two gigs for BT Sport today, first and his fucking last, but he did his BT Sport gig. He's actually worn... He's worn a shirt, a tie, a jacket, and he's got a pocket square coming out, like a silk scarf coming out of his jacket pocket. He properly looks the part, doesn't he?
He does. He fits in very well down here, I think.
Just need a face, don't I?
Yeah. Can you, have you noticed, Knollsy? I know you're naturally kind of like olive skinned. Most of your skin's covered up with ink anyway. We'll talk about it in a minute. But you know, Shanks is kind of, you know, he's verging on albino. He's
skin type one.
They call it. Yeah. He's a male IC1, whatever. But he's can you see the fake tan around the neck and beard there?
I can a bit, but you know,
I've got a ginger beard, boys.
I have
strawberry blonde hair, but I have got ginger beard. So, and I'm really looking after myself. I'm eating well. I'm training dirty. you know, just having like minimum of 8 hours sleep a night.
So that's just 8 hours kip, is it? And you've got really tan neck.
Feeling fresh.
Really tan neck and rear ears. I don't think I have a panic attack, but I do sometimes feel short of breath when I think about walking upstairs.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Or if you don't eat within.
Yeah, if I don't eat every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're at Exeter Chiefs, I mean, all these grounds have nice food when you're in the media, but down here, as soon as I get here, because I know Steve-O, your media guy, he comes straight to me and hands me one of the little meal tickets, but he always hands me two.
Of course he does.
And you
of
think just, I used to take one and think I'm not going to take two, but I don't want to tell him that because he likes giving me two. And then the week after that, I decided to use both of them, and ever since then I've had two pork baps every time I've come.
Do you reckon he takes pity on you a bit like your wife did when you had that accident in bed? And
Promised our agent Michelle we weren't going to talk about that.
Okay, fine.
I had a bit of an incident in bed recently, Knollsy. But
all the details. We'll save.
I want to know.
Save it.
Look, I mean, people don't want to hear about this at home, and
I didn't realise we weren't allowed to talk about it.
And no worries.
Okay.
I just had a bit of an accident, and you know, I wasn't very well, but I don't go on about it like, you know, like a lot of people. I'm a pretty tough guy from, you know, Vietnam and stuff. And I went to Dulwich College, and I'm pretty tough from growing up there, but whatever. So
had to be, didn't you?
Had to be, yeah. You got to be.
You should get the cane.
Street to West Dulwich. Yeah, one of the prefects will cane you. So I'd had a bit of an accident. You don't need to know any more than that, but it was reasonably serious. But you find out a lot about, you know, those closest to you in times like that. And I just pop for it. Sometimes I shower at 2 a.m. Sometimes I do that. Got out of bed and pop for a shower, and my wife took care of business. And
you shit yourself. Sorry, I can't.
You can say whatever you want.
Yes.
Let's leave it there. Thanks for bringing it up, Shanks.
So what's on today's show, Dave?
What's on today's show? Well, it's Anglo-Welsh weekend. We might gloss over that. We might not, depending on time. But basically, Sarri's won. Leicester won. Standard. Scarlets beat Bath. Brilliant second half performance. Exeter Chiefs, absolutely pumped. A really, really young Cardiff Blues side. So that's kind of covered the Anglo-Welsh. And really, the international was the interesting bit this weekend. We, you know, Italy got hammered by New Zealand. We kind of predicted that. But as we've got an England winger in the house, we'll talk about England. As we've got a Wales centre in the room, we'll talk about Wales.
Yeah, we'll go through, you know, Scotland, Australia, England, South Africa, and Wales, Argentina. And how do people contact us, mate?
They contact us. It's my weekly test, this, Nolsey, because I never know any of the details. But I do. I'm getting better, actually.
Yeah, you are.
You can tweet us at Flats and Shanks. You can email us at contact@flatsandshanks.com.
Website.
Website, flatsandshanks.com. And Facebook. There's a Facebook. We've got our own Facebook page.
Yeah.
Must go on Facebook.
They're all the same names, though. How can you not remember that?
Continuity. It's the ats and the contacts and the mail at and all that sort of, I don't know.
All right,
yeah.
All right.
We've also got loads of questions because we tweeted that you were coming on the show. Thanks for turning up, otherwise we would have been shafted.
It's quite all right.
We have got loads of questions which we will get through.
But I've got a couple to start. I've got a couple of early questions for Nolsey.
Okay.
I want to go straight in, and I want the two things I think when I see you, Nolsey, are first of all, the ink.
Yep.
All right, so...
Henna.
Yeah, it's all fake. Transfers.
Of course.
Transfers. So cute, actually.
Hey, I spend hours doing that every morning.
Yeah,
mate. I'm glad
warm water. Every time I see you, you've got more, and that isn't exaggerating, is it?
It's not, and the reason why is because I'm always bloody injured. And
nothing
I think,
else to do.
No, as you do, you lose your mind in the end of it. But you know, it gives you a good time when you have got your feet up a bit from not playing at the weekends, that you have that time to recover after a nice 8-hour sit-in. So
8 hours for a tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much tattooing do you get done in 8 hours?
Probably in sections, so you can probably get a lower arm done in 8 hours.
So while someone like Gethin Jenkins would play 8 hours of Call of Duty, you'd be in a tattoo parlour just inking up.
Yeah. If I'm injured.
Yeah, okay.
But we got Luke Cowan-Dickie. So this was Luke Cowan-Dickie's weekend. Finished training on a Saturday, played Call of Duty on the Xbox till 4 a.m, I think. Watch the McGregor fight.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Watch. I think he's like 1,000th in the world or something, out of like 4 million.
Is he?
Yeah, he is a geek. Him and his brother. He told our school when we were younger, our secondary school, that he had swine flu for a week, so he could play the new COD. Honestly, his brother plays for Plymouth Albion, Tom Cowan-Dickie. He came up to his house last week, not with a bag. Not just a bag and sleep toothbrush. He came up with his 40-inch TV under his arm, his Xbox One under the other arm, and probably just a pair of boots because he had a game the next day, and that's it. And they spent all night playing COD together in the same room.
It's brilliant. You get a little earpiece, a little Bluetooth, and you can speak to people and abuse them and everything. Yeah. It's a way of life.
You won't remember him, Nolsey. A guy called Chris Chesney, who played for Sarri's Toulon, a mate of ours, Shanks. Great bloke. Horrible bit of kit, actually. I remember going to his house years ago, and he had this games console. I don't play computer games. Games console, whatever it was. And he had a headpiece on, like a Janet Jackson earphones and that. And he was online, plugged in and online, talking to people. And he was in the same squad. And so it must be Call of Duty, like the first version or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, he was just
that's
abusing
it.
People for not being good enough. He was abusing. I was like, who are you talking to, Chez? Anyway, some so-and-so, and then, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep. And
probably some 13-year-old kid.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 13-year-old kid. Yeah. He sends me a screenshot. He gets a letter from, I don't know, Sony or Nintendo or whoever these people are, saying you've basically been banned for 30 days to think about how you're treating other
brilliant.
People. Like, and he was so abusive, he got banned from playing COD. So the ink is a passion of yours. It's when your head's gone and you're injured, you've got time to kill. What inspires them all?
It's pretty bad for me. I've become pretty good friends with the tattooist down there, Matt Butler. So He does. He sends me a few designs now and again. He's like, oh, especially when he hears I'm injured. And he's like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? We'll put this together. He's actually currently doing my dad at the moment as well.
Is
he? Yeah. So he's got a few of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Rephrase that.
So you've left, I can see you've left your hands and head and neck safe.
Well, at the moment, yeah, I can, you know, put on a suit.
Just in case you get NBE'd. And
well, you never know, yeah.
Yeah, noted. Yeah.
Win a World Cup, go and meet the Queen. She don't want tattoos.
Shaking those. How would you have a tattoo, Alan, until you can, like, train and play?
Normally, it should take you about, you know, 7 days, 10 days before it properly heals and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, of us boys, we tend to be training the next day, trying to hide it from the coaches.
The wrap cling film and stuff around it, have you?
Or just a thermal top now.
Okay.
When it's 30 degrees outside and everyone's wondering why you've got a coat on. Exactly.
And something you're known for... is the rat's tail.
It's still there.
Rat's tail, ponytail. It's still there.
Good luck charm.
Yeah,
whatever you want to name
it. I kind of have a worry that, like Luke Cowan-Dickie got rid of his mullet. I worry that one day you're going to, you know, go a bit conformist and get rid of that.
I am thinking about getting rid of it,
ballsy.
Though. I am.
Do people pull it?
No. No. No one ever seems
to. I respect that, isn't
it? No one seems to be able to touch it in a game.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah, too quick. Yeah. Sorry.
But we're a bit rugged at the moment. We're actually having a bit of a private joke in the club. Me again, Luke Cowan-Dickie and Matt Jess are all in rehab.
Yeah.
We slowly losing our minds, so we thought that we'd
because we're all injured.
Yep, we're all injured. Renamed it as the new program Castaway. Well, not the new program, the old Tom Hanks one.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we're the new fellas on it. So we've all got volleyballs with the Wilson face on it. We will call each other Wilson. We've asked politely for the other players to call us Wilson. And we've all made a little pact that none of us are allowed to cut our hair or beards until all three of us are back fit. And unfortunately, that's Matt Jess at 4 months' time.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's ruptured a ligament under his toes 4 months down the line.
You could have a haircut, like, coming to America.
Oh, I'm going to look hanging, mate.
You will look hanging.
Seriously.
Thing is, though, like, at least with Dickie, he kind of, he's a hooker and he's had a mullet for years and he's got cauliflowers and he's hanging anyway.
Yeah, I can't even grow hair on my cheeks. Like
if you grew your hair, like, it would look alright and you could style it. Imagine us.
I'd
love to
back.
See it. Do you want to join us?
Like
4 months.
Nupkins.
4 months.
No. Wilson, no, mate.
Wilson,
I'm
no?
Way too vain
no?
For that.
Right,
way
right.
Too vain.
Yeah, hence the fake tan.
Yeah.
Hence the fake tan.
Shall we start off, I suppose, with the England game?
Yeah, let's. We got an England winger here, Tom.
So for those who don't know, 37-21 to England against South Africa. Fairly easy in the end. What did you think of the game? What were your thoughts? Were you inspired?
I was a little bit inspired, maybe. You know, it was important for us to obviously get another win. You know, there's games out in Australia, they're important for us as well, but everyone's now talking about this year, and so are we, to be honest. Straight after Australia, all we were concentrating on was South Africa. And that was the first game that we had to knock off, and you know, we played very well. Like we mentioned before, Ben Youngs is obviously carved up, showing those dummies a few times, not only once but twice, and then obviously getting tries at the end of it from forward and foul was class. But you know, the South African defence I thought struggled a little bit, to be honest. You know, internationals, you can't let alone let one try through or something like that, but then two is probably a bit of a slap on the wrist. But no, look, we played in the right areas of the pitch. I think George Ford kicked well. I think Chris Robshaw obviously played well from the front, a bit like what he used to be playing like. So no, it was a big game for us, but it was a must win as well to kick us on for the rest of this year.
They sort of looked, South Africa looked like they were going to, bit of an upset, I think, to England right at the start when they broke through a couple of times. They broke through like a drive.
Pat Lambie's smiling as he kicks points. You think they look relaxed, pressure's off. Yeah, didn't work.
Were you at the game flats?
No, I wasn't. What I could say is I was covering it for media. Tom lies about being with the media all the time when he just gets free tickets and sits in the stands and pays for his own coffee. No, I actually, believe it or not, I put my family first and took a day off, which is pretty unusual for me. Yeah, I didn't get off any work. But I had some stuff going on at Twickenham, which in the end got kind of called off and postponed and delayed and it all got complicated. So they said, why don't you have a day off and enjoy it at home? So
yeah,
I too
took advantage.
My two kids climbing all over me and... didn't hear a word of it, but it looked good.
How good was Joe Lawsbury?
Very, very good. Very, very good. Yeah, and it's not a surprise that he was very good. He's kind of in that unenviable position that when he got a knock, he was first choice for England, and when he's, you know, while he's injured, the guys who come in, Cruz and Itoje, absolutely dominate and kind of become world class in about a game and a half. All he needed was a shot. He is a brilliant player, Lawsbury, and he he's so good that you think at some point they're going to find a way of including Launchbury, Crude and Itoje in the same team against the right sides. I mean, they're all so effective.
If you look at the backs, right, if you look at 9, 10, 12, they're just nailed on now, I think. Completely nailed on. They're your first choice. And you can just build a team around that. So it doesn't matter really who you play at 13s, 14s, 15s. I think when you've got that access, you can play however you want. Saying that because Elliot Daly had his first cap. First start, I should say, over Jonathan Joseph. You've played against Elliot a fair bit. Have you played with him at all?
Through age groups, through. I was injured, shock.
He's a different type of player, isn't he?
He is. You look at him, he's a bit like a Thomas Waldron, you look at him, you're like, yeah, you know, he's a big boy, he could be a big player, but, you know, when he puts his toe down, he's quick. He's very quick. He's probably one of the quickest in the team, to be honest. And also, always brings that side of his game, his kicking. You know, we all saw that kick from an hour and a half, wherever it was, at the weekend. He's class like that. He will nail them from anywhere, and he will make it look so easy, which is I'm a bit jealous about, to be honest. But you know, he is quick. That outside break again, he didn't get to show it much. He got shut down from the South Africa defence now and again. But you know, again, he's a lot like Joseph on that outside break. And he's a good all round player, to be honest.
Well, I'm interested to know when it seemed likely that Eddie Jones was going to start with Ford at 10 and Farrell at 12 in the beginning. Sort of, what was it, 9 and 10 games ago, whatever it is, 9 games ago. There was a lot of ums and ahs in sort of people like me that think we know it all and all that, and it has worked absolutely brilliantly. Yeah. And George, realistically, or in my view anyway, I won't ask you to say so, probably isn't on the form he was in a season and a half ago with Bath, but he's still a shoo-in for the England team. Absolute shoo-in, because he works so well with Farrell, and he's a brilliant player in his own right. But playing a couple of steps outside them, what's their vibe? Are they very, very loud, dominant players? Are they kind of super easy, chilled communicators? You know, what are they like to play outside?
I think they're very loud. I think they're the guys that, you know, run the whole team. You know, you've got Farrell there to take the pressure off Ford, and you've got Ford there to take the pressure off Farrell. You know, we do it a lot here at Exeter. We've got obviously Steenson and Slade playing, and you know, when one of them's down, well, if normal teams, if they're 10 down in the ruck, you know, sometimes teams, you can see them struggle. You can see right where we're going, where we're not being put in position. But where if you have two 10s on the field, essentially, then there's always going to be someone there to help the team, to put people in positions, to, you know, direct you around. And that's why I think we put our success down last year at Exeter with Dan Stino and Slade as well. Because when you've got them both on the field at the same time, it makes it so much easier for people like me, the wingers, fullbacks. To have Ford and Farrell there as well, you know, they're always controlling Marlon Yard, Johnny May, they're putting those boys in the right positions to show them what they got.
And Shanks, I know, having spoken to you, you played a lot with Wales, and whenever you see Wales play now, you really want Wales to win, but you desperately, desperately want whoever's playing in your position to have a shocker. That's right, it's what you said, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. So on that, Knowlesy, I just think you watch England play, and of course you're an Englishman, so you want England to win, but do you watch Johnny May and Marlon Yard and want them to do well, or is there just, you know, you can be honest with us, mate, don't worry, no one listens.
You want tries to be scored in their corners, don't you? You want them to but the team to do well and win still.
Certainly not, mate, certainly not. I want us to do well. I want every single player on the pitch to do well.
You want your 22k
well.
A game, that's
you want that 22g. I'm so bitter about that. It takes Shanks a month to earn that.
It's not about that.
Right, on to the next game, Shanks. Wales against Argentina. Can I just this by saying it was unbelievably dull?
Well,
can I say that?
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't the greatest of games, but as a Welshman and as a Welsh public and a Welsh player, it didn't matter. It was so important they won that game. Otherwise, it would have been catastrophe. They might have just scrapped the Welsh national rugby team after that because they were so heavily beaten the week before against Australia. But they did what they needed to do. They come away with a result. That was the most important thing. Argentina are a good team. We've seen them progress in the rugby championships. The selections justified themselves as well, because obviously the human jaw, that is Jamie Roberts, was dropped. He's not got a head. It's purely a jaw with eyes on it and a nose and a little bit of hair. Very little now. But
I heard he's going to get his hair done like Goody. Andy Goode and Henry Thomas and Thomas Waldron,
yeah.
It needs to do it soon, because he's just given me so much ammo at the moment. When he's a little bit hot and sweaty, that biscuit is just really showing.
Alan Wynne-Jones, actually, yeah. he Alan Wynne-Jones thinks he doesn't need his hair done because he's 6 foot six, but cameras pick it up, mate. And when you're doing that much work on the floor, you're visible, you know, it's visible. You've got
Buffalo Bill used to call in from Science of the Lambs.
It's on into the lambs. It puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah, you have a lady. but you know, Scott Williams, I think, did pretty decent at 12, and Liam Williams on the wing, need him in the game as much as possible. I would go to the point to say that I'd put him at 15, put Lee Halfpenny on the wing. He needs to be involved in the game that much because he's different to everyone else.
Yeah, have you played much against Liam Williams?
I have, a few times, yeah.
How'd you find it?
I think he's tough. He's very deceiving, isn't he? Just that try, the only try he scored in the corner where he's handed off one player, stepped through another player and almost put it in the corner is you wouldn't think that when you look at him.
He's the boniest bloke. And if there's a bloke with more wiry legs in world rugby, I want to know about it. Because he doesn't weigh much. You know, he's probably 14 stone or so, but just pure muscle.
Yeah, and bone, lots of bone. Ligaments. I mean, it's not pure muscle, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, whatever, I don't even know what
hair everywhere, eyeballs. But anyway, it was a pretty dull game. Wales got the job done. Would the Welsh lads be out celebrating that, or would that be sort of heads down onto next week? Or is it a bit like the old days where there'll be a pocket of lads out celebrating that in Tiger? Is that still open in Cardiff?
The single ones.
Yeah,
well, you know, there is Tinder available now, so you don't always have to go out to pull.
And Grindr. You know?
Yeah.
Grindr.
There is. So, I don't know is the answer if they're allowed out. I wouldn't have thought they would because there'd still be a lot of pressure on them. They've obviously got Japan and South Africa coming up. But, yeah, it was a job done for them. They have to move on. Try and forget about it.
Should we move on as well?
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep thinking about that game, to be honest.
Okay, so yeah, moving on. So we had Scotland-Australia. What a game that was. That was, for me, the game of the weekend because it's so close.
Yeah.
And Australia won 23-22. So, 1 point
I'm a bit gutted about that because Australia are a properly good team.
I'm not because it makes Wales' defeat look better.
Oh, that's true,
you
actually.
Know, if Scotland had beaten Australia, then it would be not, oh, God.
That's true.
Even
actually.
The bloody Scots can do it.
Knowles, have you watched Australia the last couple of weeks and thought they looked maybe just like they looked in the summer to you, or they looked loads better?
Mate, I haven't watched any rugby.
Oh, good lad. That's absolutely fine, because I've got another question I want to ask about Australia, which is nothing to do with this
good,
series,
good.
Right? So, in the summer,
yep.
You are first choice for England, definite first choice.
Wow, and second two games.
Yeah, but, well, you went on tour as first choice and then you don't play in the first game and everyone's saying he's having a week off, he's having a bit of a rest, or he's dropped, or... What actually happened there? Why weren't you playing in that first test?
So I injured my thumb in the semi-finals here against Wasps.
Yeah.
Got back to the halfway line, I think we just scored, and I was like, right, oh, quickly, physio, can you strap it off me? I think I've buttered my thumb. So, yeah, not a problem, did it. After... they've tested my thumb and look, see the state of it now. It's absolutely
for the record, guys. It's it looks
not nice,
like
is
a,
it?
It's like a cricket ball with a big seam on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and two. Mean, yeah. Actually. So they've tested my thumb. It's gone all the way down to my wrist. They've tested it the other way. It's come up into the middle of my hand, and they're saying, yeah, it's pretty buggered, mate. Like you've probably got no ligaments in there. Hopefully the bone's still attached. But what's up to you? You got a final next week. What do you do? So had a few magic pills, strapped it up. Kept it pretty sturdy. Got
all legal.
Of course. A few paracetamol. Got through that. And then I was in that position where I was a year before in the New Zealand, or 2 years before in the New Zealand tour. Do I stay for an operation, which I need desperately, or do I try and get on a tour, which unfortunately I missed the New Zealand one? So I thought, you know what, I've done one game of it strapped up. I reckon I could try and do three more. Took a knock in the final on my back, my lower back, basically my ass, had a bit of a dead leg. You know, like Eddie, who's pretty ruthless, said, you haven't come into camp at 100%. We can tell this during training. So, yeah, you're not starting. So I had thumb strapped to the max. And, again, a lot of numb and cream in my lower back.
Who knew about that thumb when you arrived in Australia?
No one. I kept it very, very quiet.
Excellent.
I kept it
to myself. That's what I'm getting at. That's
exactly.
Get on that plane, you're out.
I kind of got there and I said, oh, Doc, you might want to check my thumb out, mate. It's a bit sore. You know, I heard it.
Heard it on the flight.
On the flight.
Duty free.
No. They knew. They knew I could have got through the three games. Yeah, and it was just about getting it off done when I got back.
Yeah, so Eddie didn't mind that. He wasn't worried about.
No, he said, well, I think his words were, it's only a thumb. So
can you have a good laugh with Eddie Jones?
You can. Yeah.
He's got a sense of humour as well.
I think you can tell that through the media and you know what he's like with some of the stupid questions before where you try and beat around the bush with it a bit, but whereas he's pretty to the point and pretty relaxed. And
have you seen him going mental yet?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. You know, he's been close a few times when, our performances or our training hasn't been up to standard and where he wants it, but at the end of the day you're winning, so
Does he have his favourites in the group? Because I always think with coaches, they've got a couple of favourites. They always have a chat with them, a joke with them. The rest of us, they just ignore
them. I think him and James Haskell have a very special relationship.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He gives it just as much as he gets in the banter sort of way.
I've always thought Haskell would do whatever it takes to get in that team.
Why? No, they're good. They're good to sit back and watch them take the mick out of each other. So, it's good when Eddie gets on Hask's back.
Scotland started off really well.
Yes.
Hugh Jones.
Yeah.
Born in Edinburgh, playing for the Stormers.
Yeah,
comes back into the team and scores two tries.
Yeah, dominator.
I know,
national hero.
I couldn't believe it. I think he got capped. I think he got capped against Japan on their end of season tour, but this was his first start, and he did a pretty good job.
Really good. I was gutted Scotland didn't win. Actually, I know you weren't. I was gutted they didn't. I've thought for a while under Vern Cotter they've actually played some really good rugby. They just haven't won many games, and you can argue, well, what's the point in playing good rugby then? And that is a fair argument. But I watched them a lot live and thought, this is a much better team than the results are telling us. They just don't seem to have that killer power and those killer strike players to almost finish it off. But I've thought they're a better team for the last 2 years than
you've always said that.
I mean, I've said that nine times now, but what I'd say is over the last couple of years I've thought they're a better team than
their results. They were obviously behind, and Australia always going to come back, and I think they're down to 14 men, Australia were, and it's just one missed tackle from Peter Horn, lets Kundrani through, scores a try, they just can't finish off. They had 11, 12 phases at the end there, but just couldn't break the Australian defence.
Hey, that's small margins, isn't it, Tommy, at this level, mate?
It is.
Game's moved on, mate.
It is. Then also, you've got France being Samoa, and Flats, you watched that French game. How good were France?
Yeah, no real surprises. It's not nice to see.
Who stood out for you in the French?
I think for me, Louis Picamol. Louis Picamol stood out.
Philippe Seller was amazing.
Jean-Luc Sadonné was amazing. Oh. And Shanks is doing this because he knows full well that I haven't watched the game.
Busy weekend.
France hammered Samoa, well done. I just saw Pika Moles was playing, because there's a picture of him in the paper with a massive wedgie, and I thought, look at the size of that arse, it's unbelievable.
Right. Ireland beat Canada, but that was gonna happen anyway.
That was always gonna happen.
The big one is now this weekend coming, when Ireland got New Zealand back in Dublin.
Yeah, I know. Did you watch the game when Ireland beat New Zealand, Nolsey? I know you haven't watched any rugby.
No, I haven't watched it.
Did you know they beat New Zealand?
I did know. Yeah. I think everyone knew they did. Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And they didn't do it on passion and luck of the Irish. None of them. They were just really, really good. They were just way better than New Zealand on paper. 40 points on them. But it's kind of, there's just this inevitability that New Zealand are going to go to Dublin and roll them over. And even if Ireland get close. Hang on, our beers are arriving. Thank you very much.
No glasses there, just in case.
Oh, plastic glass in case we kick off, is it?
Would you be able to take a picture of
Shanks
us?
Thank you
very much. A picture of us as well.
Thank you.
Do a picture live.
You want a picture live?
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yep.
This is nice, isn't it?
Hold on, let me get around live. Here.
Oh, right, you come around here. Don't spill it on my back, Shanks.
You need to try and get us all three in the middle of the picture.
Okay.
Yeah, so our agent said that our heads need to be right in the middle.
Right in the middle?
Of the frame, otherwise they don't fit.
What about the lighting there?
It's quite shiny.
She said.
That's good.
Don't worry, he's got his hat on, don't worry. He's
only
the Glenn Edwards cap on. We can't talk because we're all smiling.
It looks good.
Hey, thanks very much.
That's okay.
Dandruff should be gone.
What's your name?
Sully.
Thanks very much, Sully.
Right,
I'm Flats, this is Shanks. You probably know Jack. Yeah. We're very grateful for our beers and for our photo.
No worries.
Perfect.
Flats will buy them later, yeah?
Yeah, I'll get those later. I'll put it on the company card, yeah? I haven't got a company, but thanks a lot.
No worries.
Thank you.
That photo is such a shame.
Why, what's wrong with it?
I just look like... just like the guy you've taken out for the day.
you do look like that.
Oh, well.
This is nice, isn't it? I mean, I'm presuming... These are free beers, yeah?
Of course, courtesy of Tony Rowe.
Tony Rowe, what a boy. I tell you what, standing by the touchline, you guys winning today, I watched Tony Rowe come down, and I've played at a few clubs, two different clubs, with under a few different owners, and I've not seen a relationship like that between owner and players like I saw with Tony today. He comes down, his arms, I mean, okay, you've won, arms around the boys, having a great laugh, boys are ripping into him a little bit, one of them took the mick out of his jacket saying it didn't fit, and his sleeves are too long, whose jacket is that, Baxter's jacket, you know.
Right, whoever said that won't be here on Monday morning.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. No, he had them killed. They're dead. I came to a dinner here at the beginning of the season, didn't I? And it was kind of really,
we're on the same
fun.
Table, weren't we?
I was on the same table. Sat with Tony Rowe, sat with the boss. I was standard, and didn't get me a beer, mind. But then, so we had a really nice night. But what I noticed was all the players that walked past the table are slapping Tony Rowe on the back. They're saying hello. It's all really okay. They were pissed, especially Luke Carandicky, a tie around his head at 9 o'clock. But it was just a brilliant vibe.
And he bought that picture.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
He got really pissed and bid 700 quid for a signed picture of Henry Slade.
No, of me.
Oh, he was it. Yeah.
And I tried saving him, and then he outbid himself for another 50 quid.
That's right. He was
absolute
smashed.
Idiot.
They let him go, charity. But I love that. You know, so you obviously get on very well with Tony Rowe,
you
guys.
Yeah. I mean, no, we do. He's obviously the guys have a lot of respect for him. You know, the money he has put into this club from the days at the County Ground to where we are today. And especially the plans that are going ahead next year, the year after, with the stadium. But you know, he's always down amongst the boys. You know, like you saw then, after every single game, he's in the change room with us. You know, a few beers around, being passed around with the boys. He's always the first person to congratulate someone on achievements. So last week, obviously Steno getting a certain amount of points in the Premiership or in his career, and he was out there ready to give him a trophy and things like that. But I think, you know, it's a special place down here, and I think it does come from him. You know, his relationship with Rob is very special as well, and that passes down onto Rob's relationship with us. So it's just that feeling of being looked after, knowing that you're a decent club.
From the outsides, it always looks like you're a team that just gets on unbelievably well. You have like a huge amount of respect, and that shows, you know, on the field you've got success, and off the field as well, because you see some stuff on social media. I've seen people are hitting other people with a dead fish in the face.
Yeah, I think I recorded that.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm always in the middle of it.
Your family probably caught that. And also, like, your try celebrations as well.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Who thought of that try celebration? Because it's...
Well, first of all, tell us what it is.
For those who don't know, and I would have loved this.
It's all for charity.
It's just a little rub on the front bottom area of a bloke, isn't it?
Yeah, the gentleman garden gets a good bit of attention, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When someone scores a try.
It's... you know, a cocktail here and there never goes amiss.
Dead right.
It is for, you know, all raising awareness for charity, and we do put money towards it and give money. But, you know, for us, it's more about celebrating together. We do try and get 15 of the boys. I think you would probably have noticed that, you know, when someone does score a try, there's no one back on the halfway line by themselves. There is probably 15 people in the try line celebrating them, or at least before you get to 22. There was a few occasions when Tom Waldron first joined that he would turn around and go back to the halfway line, probably for a biscuit and a sip of water and a 10-minute break.
Promised a flapjack.
Yeah, well, he got called out a few times, well, 4 or 5 times in meetings, where saying, look, there's 14 of you guys celebrating together here, and there's one person back on the trial in the halfway line, so he's learnt his lessons. But, you know, like, I think that's how it feels as it's seen. You know, the reason we do go out there and play is for each other. You know, we do enjoy it down here. You know, we're a bit out of the way from everyone else, but you know, it's different. Everyone adds something to the squad, and everyone brings something. You got old fellas like Kai Horseman, who's thinking he's nearly 50 now, but you know, he's most important as, you know, Joe Simmons that played today at 1920. Yeah. So
there's been three of my mates who've come down here. Four from Cardiff, but three that I know pretty well, like Kerry Sweeney.
The old Space Invader. Yeah. Kerry Sweeney,
Space Invader.
Takes your place
in
space.
God. He was basically breathing all my air when I speak to him. I can't.
I hate that.
He gets all the quotes as well.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Tom James, old Femby.
Yeah. And Ben White as well.
Ben White, yeah.
He's
still
here. When he first came out for the Blues, he called him Ben Shite.
Yeah.
Ben Shite.
Not to his face, obviously.
Oh, well, we called it to his face.
But when he first came to the Blues, I thought, right, this guy's never played rugby before, but he's just like very aggressive and uber keen. He is good value as well.
He's class. Ben
he's
White.
He's a wild one.
Yeah, he is. Him and Salvi together are special breeds, but I think there's still that video going around from Cardiff where he tried a drop goal or something. Did it, Ben White?
I'm not sure.
Didn't it spill out of the back of a ruck and he tried slotting a drop goal? Or, oh, terribly. I think he dropped it and completely missed the ball.
He never forgave me for giving him a dirty Sanchez back on the team social.
What's a dirty Sanchez? For those that don't know.
I'll show you later.
Make sure I'm gone by
it's then. Basically, it's basically like Russian poulette. Joe Russian poulette.
Is that the reason he's missing a tooth?
Dirty Sanchez is when your finger goes up your ass and you wipe it under someone's nose. Russian poulette is good, and I hope a lot of you listeners now will play this game. It's when one of your hands goes down the back of your trousers, or both hands go down.
When it goes down, mine don't go.
Right, both hands go down the back of your trousers. One finger goes up there, sphincter, and then you can't show anyone. And then you pull your hands out, lay them out, the fingers spread. And a person's got to take it in turns to lick a finger.
Oh no! No!
You can't smell it, you just have to lick it straight away. All your fingers are spread. And that's Russian poulette.
Why would you do
that? And Ben White lost. That's outstanding.
Why would you do that?
For a laugh. Just morale, team morale. Bonding.
Try but celebration.
Jesus Christ.
You've got to be the dealer though.
You've got to be the poopier.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure you tweet and let us know if you have a game of that.
Yeah, I mean, pictures welcome.
And also, make sure you review as well, on iTunes. Give us reviews. Make sure they're good.
Yeah, apparently we have to, when you have a podcast, you have to, about to say when you have an iPod, when you have a podcast, you have to say to your listeners, to both of your listeners, can you please review us on iTunes?
Do it.
But don't do it if it's going to be anything other than like 4 or 5 stars, because we'll find you, all right? And Shanks are good with computers and we'll find you, all right? You aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Very, very good.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Right, so we actually tweeted that you were coming on the show, Nolsey, so we got loads of questions.
I did retweet. Yeah,
nice,
I did retweet.
Perfect,
yeah.
That's great. That's
10 minutes before I go in.
We'll have to start off with a serious one. This is from Ricky Jones, and he said, are Cornish people really as weird as they seem? Are you weird? Are you a weird bunch?
We are very strange.
Yeah.
Yes, very different, and I think.
But in a good way.
In a good way, very good way, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're loving, caring,
like,
loyal.
Eels calls me a weirdo, but you know that's affectionate, isn't it? Yeah.
Banter. I spend a bit of time in Cornwall, not as much as you, but I find that there are few more welcoming places to go and spend a bit of time.
Unless you bump into Luke Cowan-Dickie.
Yeah, but you like bump into Luke Cowan-Dickie, you either end up drunk or with teeth knocked out. You never
very
know
true.
Quite which, do you?
Very true.
I actually heard that Luke Cowan-Dickie's brother was... I mean, Luke is he's your mate, so I'm not talking about too much.
Yep.
He is a prodigious talent. Like, he's a special player. If he can stay fit, he's going to play for England a lot and all that stuff. But I heard his brother was every bit as good, just kind of crazy and loose. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, no, when we were younger, they were, you know, Tom was very good, probably just as good as Luke. but, you know, Tom's down now playing at Plymouth Albion. He was up here for a bit, but, you know, he was someone that was probably too chilled out and too relaxed to probably be doing what Luke's doing now. I remember sometimes used to walk down to the academy house and he'd be in his bed playing PlayStation or Xbox, whatever they were doing instead of training and things like that, and because he's pulled a sickie and different things like that. But no, he is a very good player, still playing now, but he's got too much Cornish in him.
Yeah, too much Cornish, too laid back. So yeah, they're weird, but they're laid back.
We've got another one here from Yolo James. Says, pretty generic question, who was the best winger you've played against?
I don't know, it's a tough one.
Are you on the spot now, mate?
I am.
Don't say any of your mates.
Not going to.
Surveyor?
No, I've never played against New Zealand or Surveyor or anything.
No one yet, then.
No one any good.
No one, we'll come back to it. Everyone's very good who we play against.
We'll come back to that.
We've
got one on the email here from Joel Lawton. Joel, by the way, we try and keep our questions to 800 words if we can, mate, because it's a podcast. This isn't a reading. Hi guys, yada yada yada. Joel seems like a very nice man, was on a night out in Dublin a few years ago after Bath had been battered by Leinster. I was in that Bath team, and it just so happened we were on the lash in the same bar as the West Ham team after that game. And we walked in and thought, oh no, the football lads are in, and they were absolute quality. They were absolute quality. And he said, did any of the boys stand out? Those were the best lads. Who were the best lads in that team? And I remember being at the bar and someone saying, you boys having a pint? And you sort of look around and it's Colt and Cole. And he said, yeah, I'll have a pint, Coley. He's like, sorry, have we met? Oh, sorry, no, because you're on telly, we're best mates. He starts going on about it, and then he says something like, someone comes over and says, Colt, and, you know, mate, gives him a bit of a dig about earning loads of money and how much he earned. He's £1 million per goal and £1 million a goal. And then says, my ratio ain't the worst. And then Papa Booba Diop, right? I said, who's someone shouting over there? Call it too rich, too rich. And I said, who's that? He said, it's Papa Booba Diop. And he said, I'm the man in the club. And Papa Booba Diop said, I'm the man in the club. I'm the man in these streets. And Colton Cole shouted, no, you ain't, Papa. No, you ain't. It was just like, where are we, mate? Where are we? I ended up wearing, I think it was Colton Cole's. I had my mate Ronnie Finch, who's a mate I was out there with. I had his Finchier. He's not a big Finch guy, dog. But I had his leather jacket on all night. And I remember by about 11 o'clock, Carlton Cole had these really nice suede boots. They became mine by about 11. I took those from him, and I've still got them actually.
Do you remember on your stag do, we saw Peter Crouch, didn't we?
Crouchy.
We were
going,
Crouchy, give us a wave, Crouchy. And he bought us a drink in the end.
Yeah, we got him a dirty hot. We got Peter Crouch. He was there with his girlfriend. What's her name?
Abby Clancy.
That's her name. Super, super, super gorgeous. Like, you know she's going to be gorgeous. You meet her and like you go all funny, right? Anyway, he was in the VIP area. Just those two on their own. There was no one else in there. It was really bizarre. So we took him over a dirty half pint, basically half a pint of spirits. It was absolutely grim. A couple of peanuts in there. And we said, there you go, Crouch, that's on us, mate. And he walked over and chopped it. And one of the lads is having a really bad time. he looked over. He said, I think your mate's not very well. And he got told. Yeah, he basically ended up with one of the lads nearly being sick on him, which wasn't cool. When he left, he thought we were all really good lads. And as he left, Shanks went, see you later, Crouchinator. It was like, Shanks, ruined it, mate. You absolutely ruined it.
That's mates for life, that is.
How much longer does Nosey have to keep the rat's tail for? Well, you've sort of gone through that. What day is bin day? Do you know that?
No, I don't have a clue what day bin day is.
The people put out for you, is it?
No.
Flats, anything coming from your end?
Got one from Craig Yandell. It was about the nickname, actually. We had a competition about nicknames last year, but so this isn't a question, it's more of an observation. My favourite nickname is one for Chris Chesney, but as we mentioned earlier, we all know as many nicknames. The one that sticks out is the one he picked up back when he was being thought of as the next English Jonah Lomu, and they swapped him from the wing, the second row, to the wing at Bristol, and he got the fans nicknamed the Milk Float because it took him so long to get going. Yeah. He would have been the worst.
Brilliant.
There was a good nickname we got tweeted in last week. It wasn't even a nickname, it was just a name of a bloke, and his surname was Twilly, first name was Ben.
Right.
Ben Twilly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very unfortunate. Yeah.
Old Tom James that we mentioned earlier as well picked up a good nickname here. It was Femby.
What's that then?
So obviously Femby that was at London Irish last year as well. We were in a meeting, a very serious preview meeting.
Yeah.
Tom James in the back corner, you know, probably never listening like he always does, and he's sat up there looking at the ceiling, and he just starts talking to himself, saying, "Femby, Femby, 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 Femby." And the coach stops talking, we all stop talking, we all look around at each other and just see Femby in the corner of the room looking up at the ceiling still, and we're like, "Are you alright, mate, or what? Like, what's going on?" So then for now we called him Femby, and we still call him it now.
What happened to him?
Oh, he must have just gone somewhere for 5 minutes or so.
Nodded off, kind of. Yeah. Thing. Yeah. About
brilliant.
Really?
Brilliant.
How weird is that?
Tough bloke as well.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. We said it to him with a smile and never aggressively. Because,
His brother's a boxer. His old man's like the coach. He used to send videos, show us videos of him punching a bag and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
How bloke is he?
Well, yeah.
He's a good lad, though.
Yeah, he's great bloke. Oh, we should mention Stuart H.S.
Hang on, and before you do, Stuart H.S.
Yeah.
Tom James isn't as hard as Gareth Delve.
Okay.
Have you ever heard about Gareth Delve and his brothers?
No.
Well, Gareth Delve, do you remember Gareth Delve, Nolsey? He played for Wales, played for Bath, went to Australia as well.
Yeah.
And big old unit.
Melbourne Rebels, he was at.
Melbourne Rebels. He got injured a lot, he was a hell of a player, real powerful. And his dad was a doorman in Cardiff. And his brother Leroy was a doorman in Cardiff.
Is that his name, Leroy?
Yeah, Leroy.
Brilliant.
Brother Leroy was, and his other brother was a marine and a doorman or something like that. But there's this story about Delvey, Gareth, and Leroy Delve going out for a few beers one night and coming down the road, Park Street in Bristol, and seeing Alex Crockett, who used to be the Bath captain, centre, and just
the Rocket,
Bath Rocket, Roxy, absolutely. Just an awesome human being, great human being.
What happened
bloke.
To him?
All right, don't go on about it. His career at Bath ended a bit ignominiously, but great human being, very popular at Bath, and imperfect like the rest of us, but very, very hard bloke, but very peaceful, you know. But if anyone ever stepped out of line, Crocs is the sort of bloke that doesn't matter how big you are.
Sort you out.
Like he filled in Stan Collymore in Burger King in Dublin. Stan Collymore took a swing at Robbie Fleck when he was on crutches, allegedly, and then Crocs filled him in over the ketchup counter. But Crocs helped someone out in a bit of a, who was getting hurt in the street or something.
Yeah.
And these blokes all started leathering Crocs. And Delvey and his brother, and there's this big gang of blokes, Delvey and his brother came around the corner and stepped in to help Crocs. And they actually, they filled in all these blokes, not that I'm glorifying violence, but they then, the best bit of the story is, I hope this is true, the police are obviously on their way, they stacked them up. They stacked them up. We put them in a pile for you now. Filled them in and stacked them up.
All I was going to say is Stuart H.S. has mentioned about their Chiefs unique try celebration, and we've covered that. So
why'd you mention it then?
Well, I wanted to mention it to mention him, but you went into
can you edit this out? Are you good enough to do that?
Jack and Ori.
We're coming to the end, Nolsey, but we want to know
There's a few things we need to cover first.
What?
One is the All Blacks Maoris gesture.
That
was awesome.
You can see how organised we are, can't you? Yeah, that was awesome.
That was
super fast. Awesome.
Yeah. It was incredible, wasn't it?
And yeah.
That was
absolutely
brilliant.
Love that. Yeah.
I've also got down here Viagra story. I don't know what that means.
I'm about to sign off and you stop talking about Viagra.
Yeah.
All right, so I think I know where you're
going. I heard this as well the other day.
Yeah,
so I don't really talk much about sport or anything, but I think I heard it on the radio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, or maybe not then. I might be going across
the
different story.
I hope you haven't heard
story.
This on the radio, mate.
Yeah. All right, different one.
Well, basically, we had a...
About 2000, wasn't it? Year 2000.
Don't say the year, because then people will be able to work out who the team doctor was at Sarries. But we basically had a doctor at Sarries, and we wanted to try out...
In year 2000, was
1998.
It?
Between 98 and 2003.
Yeah.
And we had a doctor at Sarries, and Shanks and I were... We thought of ourselves as, you know, reasonably, you know, sort of promising in terms of chatting up girls and whatever. And we weren't ever actually that good at it, but we were keen, weren't we?
But yeah, we basically had like a Saracens player card that we'd take out with us if they didn't believe us.
Oh, God.
So. Yeah, Chance, I remember being on £100 a week in the academy before tax. 2 weeks unpaid, £5,000 a year, being in Eros nightclub, and Shank girls saying to us, "Will you just piss off and leave us alone?" And Shank used to get his solo card out and wave it and say, I got money. I got my own car, baby. Never worked.
My bag's worth more than your outfit.
We were standing there. So we had this. Basically, Shanks doesn't want to say it. He clearly wants me to say it because he's backing off from his mic. But you started it. You say it.
Okay, well, we were. Viagra was fairly new out. We'd heard about it, but no one ever had any. So we asked our doctor if he could get some. So he managed to get us four of these little blue diamonds. And we were.
Gold dust.
Yeah. We were like, this is amazing. What are we going to do? And we looked at him, I don't know.
We met this bloke called Pat who had a big leather jacket on in a pub. Do you remember? We met him in a pub. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
All right.
We went to a pub in wherever it was, near Sarri's training ground.
Yeah.
And we met him and we drove home with them in the car and we were like, he was like, boys, are you Dave? Tom, yeah. This envelope was like, white Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, white Pat. Okay, mate, there we go. So, money.
So neither of us had a girlfriend at the time, so we just sat watching TV and thought, should we just take one, see what happens? So we took one and we sat there and 10 minutes went by, nothing. I was like, anything there? You couldn't tell with David. You had to actually ask him.
Shanks was standing naked in the middle of the room. That's how we knew.
So then after half hour, still nothing. So we took another one, right?
I'm next, mate. Absolutely
nothing.
Buzzing we were. Nothing.
Just a heart that was nearly going to burst out of
your chest.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we're immune to him.
No, but after that, I remember we're ringing, there's nothing to happen, we've been done over, it was only £20. I remember ringing this bloke and I was texting him from the, you know, sitting in the sitting room, my flat, and I was like, Pat, nothing's been taken, nothing's happening, we've taken two each now.
He said, don't take any more,
for God's sake. And what are you doing tonight? I said, well, we're just watching telly, having dinner. He's like, well, yeah, you've got to be around something you find arousing. Oh, right. So it was about 11 o'clock, it was too late to go out then. So we just went to bed and had big veins popping out our necks. It was like,
can you pull your trousers down and turn away?
Oh, for God's sake.
That's a joke. Just joking.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Something must have happened there.
So that was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, nothing.
Wow.
Absolutely nothing.
Just heart rate, increased heart rate.
25 years down the line, or 45, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But more.
Both bold. Yeah, I know. Come on. You got to think about that.
We did it. Hair fell out. You don't do it. Beautiful, glorious hair.
I know. I'm just saying. It kind of adds up.
We started off talking about tattoos and living life, and we've ended up talking with a real
Viagra
moral lesson
boldness.
For our listeners.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
No.
Well, unless you have to, then.
Stay clean.
But if you do need to do it, we know a man. It's called Pat.
So we ask our guest a question after every podcast, and that is any books that you've read, your favourite book.
You don't want to ask me this, mate.
Why?
You don't want to ask me this.
The
last book I read, honestly, the last book I properly read.
No judging here, mate.
No.
It's probably Biff and Chip. You know, well, probably everyone.
Yeah, that's when you were at school, right?
Yeah. Mate, I used to be in English lessons, and the teacher would go around the whole class asking everyone to read a page.
Okay.
But would skip me.
That's fine. Favourite.
How does that feel? That's why I'm scarred now.
Does that mean you're unlikely to sort of be anything like a sort of geography teacher or a professor or an
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
You're going to go and be a fisherman in Cornwall?
No, right? Definitely not. I ain't got that in me.
No?
It's too hard.
Yeah, it's hard work, then, isn't it?
Maybe, I don't know, really. I have to think about it.
Don't worry about it yet, mate.
Try and do what you're
doing. With life after
do what I do. Yeah, do what I do. It's too hard, mate. People.
Right, that's fine. We'll bypass our favourite series, favourite TV series.
Oh, The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I've heard so many good things.
Oh, it's brilliant.
No, not right.
See, I would love to be in your position now. And
that good.
Yeah, because then I could watch
series,
all of them.
Though,
yeah, seven, seventh
right.
one now. But then you could watch them all.
If it's my line of work, I can do that in a week.
Oh, exactly. But I would honestly do it
because
it's brilliant. If it's a bit like zombies, you know, a bit gory and stuff like that.
Real
but
life stuff.
Yeah, real life.
True stories.
It's like living in Bath, mate.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Or in Penzance. But.
Yeah, actually, more like Penzance,
yeah.
Okay, that's good. Have you seen The Wire?
Nope.
Get on it, mate.
Is that good?
Stick with it. Get in and stick with it.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders?
No, I don't watch that. Game of Thrones a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it, lost it, watched it again. Kind of fell out of it, but then I'm up to date now, and I'm waiting for the next one. Yeah,
well, it started off so good because of the nudity.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's well, sort mate, of good. It's not
it is, mate. It's sort of politics, slowly going out the series.
Human relations, mate. Depth of character. That's what it's about.
History.
Yeah. History. Mm. I'm reading a book at the moment, Nolsey, which if you're going to read a book, your first book's in
school. I'm not going to read a book, mate.
Okay, you're not going to read a book. Well, Shanks, you read.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book called The Narrow Road to the Deep North by James Flanagan. You should read it.
Say it again, mate. So, what?
The Narrow Road to the Deep North.
Okay.
By James Flanagan. You should read it.
What's it about?
It's about a guy called Dorigo, but he's an Australian prisoner of war and Japan building the railway and all that stuff, but it's serious stuff.
I got a book that I'm going to read.
You've brought a book with you?
Yeah, it's called In Cold Blood. It's about a murder in 1959, a Kansas farmer, and his wife and kids are all murdered. It's meant to be really good. So
Jesus Christ.
Also tells you how to dispose of bodies. So quite.
You guys lost 50% of your listeners right there.
Jesus Christ, we lost one of our listeners. Yeah, I mean, do you notice I was trying to wrap this podcast up about 15 minutes ago? Shanks is hanging on in there. Right, what's your favourite colour? Have you got a car book to take you home at 8 o'clock or something?
Blue.
And you're blue, there you go.
Yellow.
Of course it is. Is it now time to wrap it up?
Time.
Because Knowles has got a place to go, mate.
Not time, mate.
No, me neither, actually. Is it time?
Yeah, wrap it up.
Nolsey, we've really enjoyed having you. Thanks for being so candid and for turning up and being up for it.
Thank you very much. No worries at all.
It's been really good. Only me and Nolsey have finished our pints, by the way. Flats are still half.
Of course.
I talk a lot.
Chop it.
I'm not going to chop it on air because then there are kids listening to this.
Okay.
You know, fine. But just you know, at your age a little bit. Contact us in different ways. Review us, please, if you've got time.
Yeah, must do reviews on iTunes, please.
Well, you don't have to, actually. You say must, you don't have to.
I wouldn't.
That's it. I'm just drinking. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.